study with you a unit of three psukim at the end of Perek Dalet of Shmos. And I think this is a very interesting way of approaching Chag HaPesach, which is in a week's time. The pasuk says the following: Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron, Vayasfu eskol ziknei bnei Yisrael, Vayedaber Aaron eskol advarim asher dibra Hashem al Moshe, Vayas ha'osos li'enei ha'am, Vayamein ha'am, Vayishmu kifakad Hashem es bnei Yisrael, V'chira es onyam, Vayikdu, Vayishtachav. The Pesukim tell us that Moshe and Aaron gather together Ziknei Yisrael. Aaron, of course, is the mouthpiece of Moshe, as Hashem said he would be. And Aaron transmits everything that was given to Moshe at the snare in the previous chapter. And then Aaron does the osos in front of the Am. And the people believe, Vayamenam. And here the Torah goes out of its way to say that Vayishmu kipakad Hashem es bnei Yisrael. Number one, kipakad. Number two, v'chira es anyam, and Hashem saw their affliction. And finally, their response was vayikdu, they bowed, vayishtachavu, they prostrated themselves. That's the response. I want to begin our discussion of these psukim by reading with you a Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says the following: Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron v'yasfu. What exactly was told to Bnei Yisrael? Omar Lehem says the Tanchuma, Kach Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what was told to the people. God had said, Pakadati Eschem. And that pasuk appears earlier. Says the Tanchuma, Siman zeh hayamosur biyodam miyamos Avram v'Yitzchak. There was a code that dates back to the time of Avram and Yitzchak. V'Yakov mosal Yosef. Yaakov transmitted this code to Yosef, the Siman. V'Amar lehem. And Yaakov, when he transmitted this code, the message came clear. Kol goel sheyavo. If somebody presents themselves as the Redeemer, how do you know if his identity is true or false? If he says pakod pakadati, hu hagoel shel emes. Kevan sheba Moshe v'yomer pakod pakadati miyad vayamen ha'am. Now, it's very interesting that according to Tanchuma, the key of keys lies in the word pakadati or pakod pakadati. That's how Moshe reveals himself, and the people of Israel believe in Moshe. He is the true, genuine Redeemer. He's not some sort of false prophet. That's point number one, and that's clear from the Tanchuma. I would like to raise a question that's raised by the Ramban. And perhaps this question will shed a light on the Tanchuma. The pasuk that we read, Vayedaber Aaron eskol hadvarim asher dibra Hashem el Moshe, it doesn't say exactly which dvarim. What was it that Aaron was transmitting to the people of Israel? And the Ramban brings in the name of the Medrash that this is what the Medrash is trying to say. That what did Aaron convey to the people of Israel? Pakadati Eschem. And if we go back to Perek Gimel at the Sneh, it says, Lech v'asafta es zikne Yisrael v'amart aleim pakod pakadati Eschem v'es ha'osui lachem v'mitzrayim. So the Ramban understands that the Vaidaber Aaron here is an introduction to Pakod Pakadati. What Aaron is reiterating is what Hashem had said to Moshe in chapter 3 in the snare, Pakod Pakadati Eschem. And therefore the response is Vayamein Ha'am. The Am believes him. Why? Because Siman Haya Masur Biyadam Kol Gol Shiyav Yom Pekarit Yazu HaGol Shal Emes. But I would like to raise a number of questions here. The first question is that in the Parsha, back in Shmos Gimel of Lech Vasafta Zikna Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe many, many different things. And the impression you get from our Pasuk, here at the end of Perek Dalid, Vaydaber Aaron es kol advar mashad dibra Hashem, is that Aaron transmitted a lot more than just pakod pakadati. But Moshe transmitted kol divrei Hashem l'Moshe, all that Hashem had said to Moshe, and not just these two words, pakod pakadati. How do we reconcile the simple pshat in the pasuk, the simple meaning and intention of the pasuk as we read it, with the Ramban and this Medrash Tanchuma, that it all boils down to pakod pakadati? That's question number one. Question number two, how exactly does this simon, this code as it were, really convince anybody? Does that clinch the deal? After all, it seems that all of Klal Yisrael knew about this simon. It was a known fact. And that's how they identified Moshe as the true prophet, the true redeemer, because Moshe came forward with Pakod Pakadati. But everybody knew about Pakod Pakadati. Horaya, that was the test that would establish the veracity of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is that a test? I mean, let's say, for example, a false prophet would have come by to present himself as the Goel. He would surely know about Pakod Pakadati, just like everybody knew. It was public knowledge. So wouldn't it be a Gnevas Das? Why would the people be so naive, so to speak, to believe Moshe because he said Pakod Pakadati, when everybody, it was public knowledge, Pakod Pakadati? And I think if you read the Ramban carefully, in his Pirish back in Shmos Gimel, you can find at least somewhat of an answer to this question. The Ramban says, and I quote, "V'yesh alecha lishol u'minayin lahem she'aminu shema shama Moshe b'mesoras azos kemosam." Perhaps Moshe heard this mesora. This was transmitted, was well known, just like they did. So he was just reiterating what was known, that the goal is going to come and say pakod pakadati. Hein omnom dimemejish rabba Isa she Yaakov Moshe sasod li Yosef v'Yosef li Echov v'asher ben Yaakov Moshe sasod l'serach bito v'adayin hoisa hi kayemes. It sounds like the Ramban's answer to this question is that in Yochinami it was not public knowledge. There were very few select people who are holding on to this mysterious code word of Pakod Pakadati. Yaakov gave it to Yosef, and Asher, the son of Yaakov, gave it to Serach Bas Asher. She was still alive at the time that Moshe appeared and revealed himself, identified himself as the Goel. Comes out, according to the Ramban's answer, there were very, very few people who knew. Maybe there was no one besides Serach Bas Asher, according to Ramban, who actually knew that Pakod Pakadati was the code word. And then we get a little bit uncomfortable here, because if there is a possibility of suspecting Moshe of being some sort of false prophet, then isn't it possible that Serach is not reliable? Meaning, why do the people of Israel feel that Moshe is reliable, even though they only know that through the testimony of Serach? Well, how do you know the testimony of Serach is reliable? And in effect, what we're asking is, imagine a case of some sort of collusion, if you will, between Serach and Ploni Almoni. Maybe they got together, Serach revealed the secret to Moshe, or to anybody, whoever it is, hey, this is the secret code word, and I'm gonna verify that when you say the magic words, Pakod Pakadati. In other words, it's very strange. If it's public knowledge and every Jew knew that Pakol Pekadi is the code word, fine. But if only one individual on the face of the earth knows it's the code word, it's only Serach Bas Osher. I mean, it's pretty strange that we're all, every member of Klal Yisrael is relying on Serach Bas Osher. Furthermore, this whole idea of the Ramban, that this critical secret of the code word was somehow kept under such lock and key that nobody knew about it except for one woman. Is it possible to pass on a secret of such significant nature? The entire redemption of the people of Israel depends upon this one little secret. And it's held by Serach Bas Osher for so many years, for so many centuries. And there was no chashash that maybe Serach would die at some point, maybe she would have a sudden death. I mean, she was a pretty old woman. And if she would die and she didn't get a chance to pass on the tradition, the entire tradition would be totally lost. It would go down with her burial. I mean, didn't she tell somebody else just as a backup? You know, today in computers, everything is on a backup. How is this Mesorah, first of all, kept secret? And second of all, why was it kept secret? It would seem like a very dangerous proposition to keep this secret when so much is at stake here. And the Ramban writes, again, getting back to the Ramban, based on a Medrash, and this Medrash is quoting Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Ben 12 Shana Nitlash Moshe Rabbeinu Mi Beis Aviv. At the age of 12, Moshe was cut off from his father's house. In other words, he was forced to flee Mitzrayim. Moshe was brought up in Beis Paro, but apparently the Medrash understands that Moshe still retained some sort of ongoing contact with his parents. So at the point in which he fled from Mitzrayim, the Medrash calls him Tolash, Nitlash, Moshe Rabbeinu Mibes Aviv, and he was 12 years old. And then the Medrash says, Lama, She'ilu Gadal Beves Aviv, Uba V'yomer Lehem Hamasim, if Moshe Rabbeinu had indeed grown, let's say, to adulthood in his father's house, and then he came and told the people of Israel everything that happened to him at the snare, Lo hayu ma'aminim bo, shayu omrim, aviv masaralo. If he would have been more mature, then surely his father would have transmitted this tradition to him concerning pakod pakadati, and then there would be no riot. Lekach nitlash mi beis aviv, therefore he was cut off from his father's house at such a young age. Ukshaholach v'higid l'Yisrael is called dvarim l'fichach eminu bo. Shenemar v'yamein ha'am. So again, the Ramban is building on the fact that there were proofs. How could Moshe Rabbeinu have known of this tradition? He was so young when he left. When he left his father, when he got cut off from his father. This also, I think, leaves us a little bit wanting. For example, Aaron, we know, remained in Mitzrayim. Maybe Aaron was the one who passed on to Moshe Rabbeinu this tradition about Pakod Pakadati. Certainly, Aaron was not cut off from his father at the age of 12. And Aaron and Moshe both have the same father. So if the suspicion is that the father, Amram, gave over this tradition, he may have given it to Aaron, and Aaron is coming together with Moshe. Aaron is actually the one who's speaking to the people. So it would seem that Aaron knew, or logically could have known about this secret, and maybe he heard it before. I mean, it's also possible that Moshe had heard it before he was 12 years old. And then we get back to the Tanchuma again. The Tanchuma says, or it seems to indicate, that there was no tradition It doesn't seem, according to the Tanchuma, that there was this secret tradition that was passed on amongst the very few select people. And yet, according to the Medrash, that Yaakov Masal Yosef V'Omar Lahem, look at the plural, Lahem, it sounds like it was given over to all of Klal Yisrael. So again, once again, we come back to our original question. If so, the knowledge of this Simon was public in nature. And again, as we said, even if it was private in nature, if, as the Ramban suggests, Moshe had to be cut off from his father at the age of 12 so that they would believe him, otherwise his father would have passed on tradition, then what about Aaron? So this is very, very strange here. You know, maybe the difference between the Medrash Tanchuma and the Medrash Rabbah of Rabbi Chava Bar Chanina is that whereas the Tanchuma assumes that the knowledge of Pakod Pakadati as a Simon was public in nature, Omar Lahem, the Medrash of Rabbi Chava Bar Chanina would insist that no, it was a select few people who knew it, but there is a possibility that Amram would have or could have passed on this secret over to his children, and therefore we're in the dark as far as Aaron is concerned. So let's just review our two questions. Our first question is that if we assume that there is an element of focus on Pakod Pakadati to the exclusion of everything else, meaning that the whole purpose here and the central motif of this unit of Psukim in the context of Moshe, or Aaron, I should say, speaking to Klal Yisrael for the first time in Perek Dalet, is the Pakod Pakadati. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, Vayidabar Aaron is kol advar mashed dibra Hashem al Moshe? The second question is, how exactly were Klal Yisrael able to, or what was the logical reason that they relied on Moshe Vayamein by Moshe based on the Pakod Pakadati? It would seem to have been public knowledge, and if it was only Serach, then they're really relying just on Serach. And the Medrash Rabbah, as the Ramban points out, assumes that Moshe could have, had he been raised to adult in his father's house, could have gotten the secret password from his father. What about Aaron? Now, I'd like to quote a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Zayin, a very famous Gemara, Hachod Shoyin B'Ksherim Loke B'Gufo D'Chsiv V'Hein Lo Yaminu Li. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu back at the snare accused Klal Yisrael that they would not believe him. And therefore Moshe received his due punishment. He was a Choshed B'Ksherim, and he got Tzaraas. The Galia Kami HaKadosh Baruch Hu D'Vehem Ne'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Klal Yisrael would certainly believe Moshe. Omar Leis, Hashem turns to Moshe and he says, Hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim v'ata ein sofka leha'amin. Hein ma'aminim d'ksiv v'yamein ha'am b'nei ma'aminim v'hemin b'ashem. And then u'mizeh nirad emuna, it would seem from this Gemara in Shabbos that their emuna of Vayamena Am in the unit that we're studying here in Perek Dalet is a great shevach. It's a great praise to them. And if we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to establish his identity as the Goel through a Simon, then I'm not sure exactly what's going on over here. Moshe suspects the people will not believe him. Why won't they believe him? The people, Akash Baruch says, no, they're Maminim B'nei Maminim, they will believe you, you're Choshe B'Ksherim. I mean, I don't know what the great emuna here is. I mean, Manavshach, if this Simon is actually ironclad, iron-tight, airtight, and it's totally reliable, so I don't understand the great Shevach, and Moshe Rabbeinu was attacking them. If, on the other hand, you know, we assume that there really is nothing to rely on, then, okay, I understand. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is very justified. You gave me a Simon, but they're not going to rely on that Simon. So why is he considered a Choshe B'Ksherim? And if Understandably, the siman is airtight and therefore reliable. Why would Moshe suspect that they wouldn't believe? And why are they considered so great by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they actually believe? The whole parasha seems very, very confusing when you get down to its nitty-gritty details. Again, we're used to the Chazal, but we sort of skim over it in a general basis. When you get more specific about it and you look at it with a mic, you know, a magnifying glass, you know, the details become very blurry over here. Now, let's look at these two words, pakod, pakadati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes on this siman with the word with the words pakod, pakadati. What exactly do these words include? Well, what's inherent in these two words? The Medrash in Shir HaShirim says the following: Vishamu lekolech, lama shemisoras ke'ulehi biyadam shall call goel sheyavo v'yomalehem p'kida k'fula goel shall emesu. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim uses a term p'kida k'fula. That's the proof of the goel shel emes. What is this pkida kfula? Is it just that the siman has to be made a little bit more difficult? It's got to be pakod, pakadati in a double language. So we really have piled up a number of questions here, and let's see if we can begin understanding this whole section and this whole episode by studying a statement of Chazal that we mentioned earlier in Masechet Shabbos, that Moshe was punished because he was choshev b'ksherim when he said, "Hein lo yaminu li." And he was immediately punished. The Gemara says, "Mimai d'loka." How do you know that he was immediately punished? D'chsiv, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem lo, od haveinu yodcha b'cheikecha." Now, Chazal in the Gemara in Shabbos understood that Moshe was being punished because he was choshev b'ksherim. And the question I want to ask you is, how do we know this? How did Chazal know this? Maybe the reason why he was punished is because he himself didn't believe in Dvar Hashem. Maybe he had a lack of emunah, because he was told by Hashem, v'shamu l'kolech. And then he comes and he says, "Vehem lo yaminu bli." So let's look inside the Chumash and see the Seder HaPesukim. In Perek Gimel, we're looking at Pasuk Yidches. After Hashem tells Moshe Pakod Pakadati, he says in Pasuk Yidches, "Veshamu lekolech." They will accept you. They will believe in you. Now, if you fast forward to the beginning of Perek Dalet, Vayan Moshe Vayomer Vehein Lo Yaminu Bi Li Velo Yishmu Lekoli. I mean, that itself is a very severe averit. Not that he's Choshev B'Ksherim. Forget about Choshev B'Ksherim. He is actually Lechora. Again, I'm sorry that I'm saying this, but at face value, if you read the straightforward reading of the Pesukim, he is contradicting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying the exact opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Vishamu lekolecha." And he says, "Lo yishmu bekoli." I mean, that itself should incur a punishment. But Chazal say that he's being punished because of Choshed B'Ksherim. And in a sense, a more fundamental question is, how could Moshe Rabbeinu have doubts about the divine promise? Hashem promised that they will yishmu lekolecha. And now he's saying, no, velo yishmu bekoli. Not only that, but the Gemara over there in Masechta Shabbos that we quoted before about the punishment for Moshe, the Gemara says that Galia Kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's clear, it's known in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam that they will accept your presentation. Meaning, as soon as you speak to them and you tell them that you are being sent Pakod Pakadati, then they will believe you. That's it. All you need is Dibur. But it's very strange, because the implication of the Gemara is that Vayamena has nothing to do with the Osos that Moshe and Aaron performed in their presence. Which again is a bit strange, because when we read the psukim, again, I want to go back to the unit. I'm just floating around here back and forth, so it's hard to keep the chumash in the right place. I should really put markers here, but it says the following: Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron v'yasvus kol ziknei bnei Yisrael v'yedaber. Fine. And then it says v'yasa osos lieni ha'am v'yamein ha'am. It sounds like, not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it back in the snare, the way the Gemara embellishes it, but rather they believed in the Osos, not the way the Gemara says they believed in the Dibur. It's only after Vayas HaOsos Lieni Ha'am, then they believed. Then it was Vayamein Ha'am. So how could it be that they believed only after the Osos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they will in fact believe because of your Diburim, and only your Diburim, there's no need for anything else? And perhaps the Medrash Rabbah is touching on this question. Vayamena am yachal lohem minu ad shero ha'osos. You might think, the way we read the psukim straightforward, that they couldn't believe it until they saw the Osos. Lo, the Medrash says that's not true. Ella Vayishmu ki pakad Hashem. They heard that Hashem pakad es bnei Yisrael. Al hashmua heminu velo al ri'iyas haosos. Ubameh heminu al siman apkido shamu lehem shekach haisa mesoros biyodam Yaakov. Bameh heminu ki shamu hapkida. I don't exceed ki pakad Hashem es bnei Yisrael v'chiro. V'chiras anyam vayiktu vayishtachvu vayiktu al pkida vayishtachvu al kira es anyam. It's clear from the language of the Medrash Rabbah that they believed even without the Osos. I mean, that's the whole point of this Medrash Rabbah, and this itself has to be understood. How did Chazal know this, that they believed without the Osos? The pasuk says then he did the Osos, Vayas Osos, and then Vayamein Ha'am. Then they believed. It's in that sequence. No. Medrash says no. Vayiktu al pkidu ishtachu al kiros onyam. It means that they relied on the secret, on the password, so to speak, that we discussed before, pkidu. Shamra pkida ado the sivki pocket Hashem is bnei Yisrael, and that's vayiktu al hapkida. Okay, I don't know if it's a full blasted raya over here in the Medrash Rabbah, but it doesn't seem to be a great proof that they believe because of the pkida when the pasuk says beferush that vayasis osos. In other words, when it says Vayishmu Kipokad, that's very true. Vayishmu Kipokad means they were convinced that Hashem was poked because they saw the Osos. That would be the straightforward indication of the Pesukah. Chazal sees some sort of raya here that no, they believed irrelevant to regardless of the Osos. They believed because of the Pekida and all that's involved. Doesn't seem, I don't know, Chazal must be moved by something here to draw that conclusion. And perhaps to begin to make some progress, a little bit of progress at least, let's begin with a pasuk back in Perek Gimel, which we mentioned earlier. The double language, pakod pakadati. Why does Hashem say pakod pakadati? And not only that, not so much the double pakida that bothers us, but after that it says pakod pakadati eskam v'esha osui lachem b'mitzrayim. There seems to be an extra emphasis here on esha osui lachem b'mitzrayim. What were you experiencing in Mitzrayim? How are you being treated in Mitzrayim? What is this pkida in connection with ha'asui b'Mitzrayim? And when we speak about galus, and we speak about the fact that within that golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe at the Sneh, and he commands him, Lahotzi es b'nei Yisrael, take the people out of Israel, out of Mitzrayim, people of Israel out of Mitzrayim. He says to him, Vizelcha ha'os, ki anochi shlachticha, behotziacha es ha'ami Mitzrayim, tavdun es elokim, al ha'har hazeh. Now this is something very strange. Zelcha ha'os. I understand that os is some sort of change in nature. You know, the magic of an os that proves that there's something metaphysical going on in your shliach hakel. But here the os is ha'os ki anoch shachticha, that when the people of Israel go out of Mitzrayim, they will serve Hashem on this har where we are located, where this encounter of the Sneh takes place, namely Har Chorev, and it's a reference to Kabbalah HaTorah at Har Sinai. Why is that an os? We assume, A, that the purpose of an os is to prove, as a demonstration that of the veracity and the genuine, you know, shlichus. And if we assume, B, that Matan Torah is going to happen way after Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, a full 7 weeks later, then how does this work over here? Are we working with Lama Freya? You know, you're trying to demonstrate the position of Moshe as the Shliach, the Goel of Yisrael, and then after Yetzias Mitzrayim, 7 weeks later, you're going to be able to prove retroactively that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Goel, because look, we got to Har Sinai. It sounds a little bit strange that only when we get to Har Sinai will Moshe Rabbeinu's oath be verified. You need a verification now. What good is it if after Yitzis, I mean, now there's a process of Yitzis Mitzrayim, Moshe's playing the role as the Goel to engender Yitzis Mitzrayim, and he's bringing a proof to demonstrate it, because, you know, why are we going out of Mitzrayim? How is this Yetzias Mitzrayim possible? Because we're going to end up at Har Sinai. I mean, that's a little bit strange. You know, you want to set up Moshe Rabbeinu in order to bring about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the oath that demonstrates that has to, l'chora, be verified, has to be clinched before they go out of Mitzrayim, not way later. Very strange. Chazal tell us, back in the Parsha of the Sneh, in the Medrash Rabbah, Omer Rabbi Seinu, Simon, the first Simon of Geula, is Anochi, because of the Pasuk, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim. Now, let's understand why the Medrash puts so much emphasis on the word Anochi. There's the Gula Rishona and there's the Gula Asida. The Gula Rishona is something that Amir Tzshem will read about in 2 days' time in the Kriyas HaTorah for Shabbos HaGadol. And we read about it again last Shabbos in the Kriya of Parshas HaChodesh. That's the Anochi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim. So that's the Geula Rishona. Moshe makes reference to the fact that Yaakov Avinu was already told, there was a foretelling in the future, that there would be a Geula from Mitzrayim, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, I will come up with you out of Mitzrayim. And the Anochi appears again as a simon for the ultimate geula, as it says, "Hine Anochi sholech lachem es Elio Anavi." And the Chazal and the Medrash describe that Anochi in the Geula Achrona, the ultimate geula, as he misrapim. It's a future in which there will be a refuah, a geula. The entire mimer here of this medrash is very strange. I mean, there is a principle called Maisa Avo Simul Abonim. And surely the original Doros and what happens, what they experience, the first Doros back in the beginning, time of the Avos, etc., that's going to be, in a sense, a picture, a vision of what's going to happen in the later generations. And we could say that what happens to the children was already mentioned to the Avos. And we can look in the later generations and perhaps see an allusion to what was happening in the earlier generations. In other words, we can work sort of in both directions. We can look in the Doros Rishonim, and that gives us a vision of what's going to happen in the Achronim. And at the same time, we can look at the Achronim, get a picture, perhaps a vision of what happened to the Doros Rishonim. And if I could give a mashal, I mean, if you look at the children or the later generations and you see what tendencies they have, you can get an idea if you go back to the prototype, back to the first generation, the ancestors, you can get from the children sort of like a picture of what the father of the family was. Every family has its patron, and you get a picture of the patron from the children. So when you see what happens to the Doros Achronim, you can acquire some sort of a concept, a vision of what the Doros HaRishonim were all about. Again, that assumes, or presumes, I guess you would say, that the situations, the conditions that both the Rishonim and the Achronim are going through are sort of parallel to each other. And sometimes you can look at what's going on in the life of contemporary society. You know, you look around you in the present tense, and you can get a picture of what was going on in earlier generations. And if I could give you one case in point, let's say if we look at contemporary life today, we see so many Jews around the world who really have a very limited, I don't want to be mekatrik, but a very limited interest in geula. No, classically, from the time that the Jewish people went into exile, as a nation, our greatest collective desire and our hope for the future was always for Geula. That was the essence of what we prayed for, of what we yearned for. But nevertheless, if we look at the last few generations of Klal Yisrael, it seems that that desire, that burning desire for Geula, has weakened. And there are many Jews who are very happy where they are. They have no interest in any sort of geula process. Talk to them about going back to the land of Israel. They're interested in geula. You know, geula, what's that? That's the unfortunate situation. We live in periods of hizbolos, of Jews who want to become part of the society in which they live, whether it's countries in Europe, whether it's in the United States of America, whether it's in South America. There are many Jews who are on the verge, nevach, of assimilation. And geula, they're not interested in. The geulas is fine. And if you look at a picture of our contemporary life, you may be able to get a little bit of a glimpse of what the Doros HaRishonim were. I mean, Chazal talk about the different kitos, the different groups at the time of the geula b'Mitzrayim, and there were definitely groups that wanted to assimilate with the Egyptians. They weren't interested in going out. Chazal speak about different opinions. How many Jews were left behind at Makas Choshev? How many Jews perished? And therefore, when we read this medrash that we said that Simon Legula Rishona is Banochi Ki Yardu Yisrael Mitzrayim Banochi, and we see that in the Gulach Rona, there will also be Anochi Sholech Lachem Es Aliyo Anavi, that perhaps what Chazal are trying to convey to us is that there is a pegia here in Anochi. The word Anochi really indicates a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we say in the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What is Yaakov Avinu hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Anochi Ered Mitzrayim, then I'm going to go down with you in Mitzrayim, and therefore I'm going to come back up with you. The message is clear. Yaakov is being told that if you want the Anochi relationship, if you have a desire, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, that you want us you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with you, then it'll be Anochi Mala Eschem. For those who are not interested in the Anochi Ered, in some sort of ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus, they couldn't care less about that, then there's no Anochi Mala Eschem, the Anochi Mala Eschem. And that's going to be in the ultimate Geula, there's going to be Anochi Sholech Lechem Eseliyahu Navi. If Yirtzeh Hashem, what we want is a burning desire to be in close relationship with Anochi, and through that close relationship, to bring about the Geula. So the Siman for the Geula Achrona of Anochi Shem Misrapim V'Masinim Ligoel means that we'll do tshuva, we'll want to be close to Anochi, then it'll be Hinei Anochi Sholech Lechem Eseliyahu Anavi. And if that be the case, then perhaps we can get an insight into the double language of Pakod Pakadati. One of the questions that we asked earlier is, what does Chazal mean when the emphasis is Pakida Kfula? That the Goel will say Pakod Pakadati. He is the true Goel. The Goel who comes in the name of Hashem and says Pakod Pakadati, he's telling them about a Geula or a Pakida Kfula. What is this Geula or Pekida Kfula? What is this two-dimensional, multi-dimensional Geula? And the answer is that the Geula is not just leaving Mitzrayim and being freed from the yoke of slavery to Mitzrayim. There's got to be a deeper kind of Geula, more existential redemption that reflects the inner soul of the Jew. And that's going to happen at Maimon Har Sinai. There's going to be a two-stage process over here. First, there'll be a pekida in the sense of gulas haguf, if you want to call it the physical gula, that we're no longer meshuvah to Mitzrayim. And then there'll be another dimension to gula, perhaps much more important, because that's the ultimate goal, and that is the gula of the nefesh. We always say in davening, Updisanu mi beis avodim. It's not just hotzianu mi beis avodim, yitzran galtanu. Galtanu means the termination of slavery. It's also got to be updisanu. We're going to go and we're going to experience Maimon Har Sinai. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. It may take 40 years, but we'll conquer the land. That's the pakod pakadati. That's the ele eschem mi oni Mitzrayim el Eretz Knani. Now we're going to go 3 days. That's what Hashem tells Moshe at the snare. And then v'nizbechal Hashem Elokeinu. And what's that going to be? That's going to be the ultimate gula. The v'nizbechal Hashem Elokeinu. It's not just that we leave Mitzrayim, but we have to have that close relation with Shechina. That's the Anochi in which we go down to Mitzrayim, the Anochi in which we go up from Mitzrayim. And that's going to be the Anochi at the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, Hinei Anochi Sholech Lechem es Eliyahu HaNavi. And we had asked the questions, why did Moshe Rabbeinu succeed in demonstrating, or how did he succeed in demonstrating that his veracity, his true status, and genuine and honest, by giving them the Pakod Pakadati? I mean, everybody knew about Pakod Pakadati. And we asked also, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise Bnei Yisrael that they would believe? And what's the big deal? I mean, they just had the Siman, and Moshe revealed the Siman. The answer is, yes. One question answers the other. It was public knowledge. Everybody knew about Pakod Pakadati. The issue here, the challenge facing Bnei Yisrael is, would they accept the Pakod Pakadati? Moshe is going to come with the Pakod Pakadati. He's going to say, look, I want you to understand that if we're going through a process of Geula, if we merit the process of Geula, there are conditions. You know, you got to pay the fee. And what are the conditions? The conditions are, listen, you want to achieve a Geula Fizit, as we say. You want to achieve some sort of Geula Saguf and terminate this terrible slavery. You have to know that that's not the ultimate here. It's Pakod Pakadati. There are two dimensions here. It's not just Geula Sanefesh. I'm sorry, not just Geula Saguf. The Geula Saguf will be the Prikas Ol Mitzrayim. Yes, that's true. But there's got to be Geula Sanefesh. Are you ready to undergo a Geula Sanefesh? Are you ready to commit yourself to be Avdei Hashem? Yes, Hashem will terminate the avdus of Paro, but that's all contingent on you accepting, committing yourself to be Avdei Hashem, transforming your very essence, which is going to happen ultimately, or reach its fruition at Maimon Har Sinai. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise Klal Yisrael to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh and tell them that they will believe? It's because they will not just believe, they will accept. I mean, that's the main point of our discussion today, is to make that transition between belief and accept. The emunah here is that we accept what this is all about. We understand the deeper meaning of geula. We have a desire and a craving for that existential geula, that pedus ha-nefesh, not just pakod, but pakod pakadati. And that is the pakod pakadati that will go to Eretz Yisrael after we receive the Torah. And if that be the case, then perhaps we can begin to understand the meaning here of the psukim. Let's go back for a moment to the Bris Bein HaBesorim. In the Bris Bein HaBesorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Ki ger yezarecha bi'eretz lo lahem, vavadum ve'inu osam, arba mi'ol shana. There will be an avdus, an inui of 400 years. Well, Hashem now, let's fast forward, Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and wait a second, they only had 210 years of Shibud. It's the, what's going on over here? We're missing 190 years of Shibud. The deal was 400 years. And Chazal tell us that Koshi Shibud Hishlam HaMinyan, that because the Mitzrayim exceeded beyond bounds to subjugate the Jewish people and cause them pain and anguish, therefore everything, the 400 years, was really collapsed into 210 years. And again, the answer is that the purpose of the Golus and the Shibud was to purify the Jewish people, to bring them through the Kor HaBarzel, the Kor of Oni, and upgrade them and purify their souls so that they can be ready for the ultimate geula, the second stage of geula, which we said is geulas hanefesh for kabbalas haTorah. The shibud was so intense that it was enough for 210 years to prepare them, to purify them, and they're ready for kabbalas haTorah in Har Sinai. That's what it means. Pakod pakati eschem v'es ha'osui lachem v'mitzrayim. We ask the question, why the double language of Pekida, and why the addition of the words asher osui lachem, asher osui lachem v'mitzrayim? The answer is that the osui lachem v'mitzrayim explains the pakod pakati, because the pakod pakati means that you've had enough of shibud. The koshi shibud has reached the point in which there has to be a geula. The conditions necessary for geula have been fulfilled, and that's what he adds here: pakod pakati, meaning I've remembered ha'asui lechem Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim were machbid; they would intensify their shibud upon you. And therefore now, we're ready for the double pekida. Not just the geula of prikas ol Mitzrayim, of the termination of slavery, but much more fundamental and existential. It means to prepare you to become an am skula and a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh at the time of kabbalas haTorah at Har Sinai. Now I can bring your geula to the highest level. And these two dimensions of geula are intertwined, they're one entity, they're indivisible. And now, I'm ready, lifkod eschem, legalam. I'm ready for the ultimate geula, even though the 400 year period has not passed. However, let's go back to the Bris Bein HaBesorim, we're not out of the clear yet. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the significance of 400 years is not simply to prepare Bnei Yisrael for the ultimate geula of Kabbalas HaTorah, not just the process of purifying and uplifting their souls, but moreover, the pasuk says, Hashem says to Avram, "Ki lo sholem avon ha-mori ad-hena." It will take 400 years until Shalem Havonam. In other words, until the point that Klal Yisrael can enter into the land and destroy the seven nations, we have to wait until Shalem Havoni, Havona Amori, and that's going to take a full 400 years. So again, even if we assume that the Koshi HaShibud is so intense that as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, they are ready for Geula, but there's another precondition. Geula means to enter into the land and conquer it. But that moment of time which gives Bnei Yisrael the right to conquer the land and destroy its inhabitants in order to inherit the land, that moment hasn't come yet. Because Lo Sholem Avonam, how can they enter into Eretz Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the divine judge with justice, and the justice requires that the Amori reach a certain level of rishus, of evil, in which they deserve to be destroyed. And the answer perhaps is, and this I want to quote from the Dvar Avram of Rabbi Avram Sender Shapiro, who was the Rav in the city of Kovna. Kovna was a great city in Lita, a major citadel of Torah learning in Lita. And the Dvar Avram was the Rav of Kovna. So many stories about him in the Kovna ghetto, where he died before the Nazis could kill him. He died of a broken heart when he saw in the Kovna ghetto. But anyway, getting back to the Dvar Avram, he wants to explain that the concepts of tzaddik and rasha are relative to the generation. It could be that a certain person is considered a rasha in a certain society, and yet in another society he might be considered a tzaddik. It all depends on which generation he's in. Let's explain. Let's say, for example, you have a person who, relative to his generation, is, you know what, he's a tzaddik. That gives him the status of a tzaddik. You have another person who, relative to his generation, is a rasha. Compared to those around him, he doesn't size up. He's considered a rasha. And we'll find this in the Chazal about Noach. The pasuk says Noach is an ish tzaddik bidorosav. And the Medrash says, bidorosav haya tzaddik, ilu haya bidoroshal Moshe, bidoroshal Shmuel, loya tzaddik. It's all a question of relativity, of comparing an individual to his generation. In comparison to a generation of Rishayim, he, Noach, is a tzaddik. Had he been amongst tzaddikim, the likes of Moshe or of Shmuel, he would not be considered a tzaddik. And we see this in a parsha in Tanakh, says the Dvar Avram, if you look at Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Tzarfis turns to Elio, and she says, you came to me, Lahazkir Savoni. Chazal explained this in the Medrash Rabbah, that Tzarfis was basically telling Elio that until you came, I was considered, in relative, in comparison to the Anshei Iri, the people of my city, who were very evil, I was considered a tzaddik, a tzaddikas. Amongst them, you know, my actions, my good actions, like piled up and made it seem like, relative to the people around me, I'm a pretty good woman. But now you, Elio, show up here, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavenly courts, is going to focus on my sins, and I will be killed. That's what she's worried about. So we see here the theory of relativity. And now perhaps we could get an insight and shed a light on this concept of Hashlomas Avona Mori. It really depends upon Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael is going to enter into the land, well, where are they holding? If that's tzaddikim, if they've climbed and ascended the spiritual ladder to the point in which we can call them the Ummah Shel Tzaddikim in the world, then the Amori, by relative comparison, they go down and down, and they are considered Rishayim. Terrible Rishayim, in a relative sense, to Klal Yisrael and now Tzaddikim. If, on the other hand, Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael are not worthy of being called Tzaddikim, then the Avon Amori is not Sholet. So let's go back to Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the case of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there had to be Hashlamas Avon Amori to allow the people of Israel to enter into the land and to conquer it. And if there's a Koshi Hashibu, that's what the central concept we were discussing before, if the Mitzrayim had imposed upon Klal Yisrael such an unbearable subjugation and pain and suffering, beating them as it were, then Klal Yisrael have undergone this Kura Barzal experience, and they become purified and uplifted. If they can be uplifted to the point in which in 210 years they can achieve the level of a tzaddik that would normally take 400 years because of the Koshi Hashibu that purifies them, then they are ready, they have license to enter into Eretz Yisrael and to destroy the Amori. Even though we needed Hashlamas Avono, but in a relative sense, once the Koshi Hashibu is mashlim, it completes the status of Klal Yisrael and allows them, Klal Yisrael, to be ready for Mitzrayim, which means that they're ready for Kabbalas HaTorah. Oh, if Klal Yisrael have undergone such a transformation in this period of time, 210 years, that they are ready to receive the Torah, then it means they are tzaddikim. And Mimela, as a result, is Yushlam Avon Amori. They are ready now, they have license to destroy the Amori, because on such a high level, relatively speaking, the Amori goes down, down, down. They don't have a shaychus to Kabbalah Sator at all. So the Hashlamas Avon Amori really depends upon the Koshi Shibud Mitzrayim, Shibud of Yisrael and Mitzrayim. If the Shibud wasn't so difficult, if it wasn't so unbearable, shall we say, then Klal Yisrael themselves wouldn't have been worthy of going out of Mitzrayim. They weren't on the level of Kabbalah Satorah. Only 210 years had passed by. And then for sure we'd have another problem if Avon Amori is not Shalem. Because again, it's always going to be relative. Now that we've established that the Koshi Hashibut, Asher Asui Lehem, that we emphasized before, has brought about a situation of Hechsher Yisrael, that the people of Israel are ready for Kabbalah Sator, it only took 210 years due to the special Koshi, that double Koshi, now is Yushlam Avon Amori. Now we're ready not just for Kabbalah Satorah, but also to enter into the land and destroy its inhabitants. Because when we compare one nation to the other, in that relativity comparison, the Amori is against Klal Yisrael is a Rasha Gomor. Because Klal Yisrael now has achieved this level through Koshi Hashibud of Mitzrayim of being ready for Matan Torah. And if that be the case, the Kates has arrived. The Kates that brought this chus of Klal Yisrael now brings about the Hashlamas Avon Amori. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu back in the Sneh, when he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I command you to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that Moshe was in amazement. I mean, how could it be? How could I be the Redeemer of Israel, Moshe asked, before 400 years, the period of time, and the Kates has not arrived yet, and the Shibud hasn't been complete, and the Shalim, the Avon Amori is not complete. I mean, nothing's ready. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly believed that there's no way the people of Israel are going, at this particular point, are going to believe in me, and they're going to accept me as the Redeemer that you, God, have sent me. Surely they'll have doubts about their Amunah. And Moshe Rabbeinu now has to get a double answer from HaKadosh Baruch. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Hine tzakas b'nei Yisrael bo'elai v'gamra yisiyas halachas asher Mitzrayim lochatzim osam. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, the Koshi Hashibud is unbelievable. And the 210 years is shave shakel, can you get the 400 years because of the extreme pain and suffering that the Mitzrayim have imposed on Klal Yisrael. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes even further. He says, V'zelcha os, I want to tell you that there is a pakod pakadity here. The geul after 210 years is ready, is feasible. Why? Zelcha oski anochi shlachticha botziach hasami mitzrayim davdin esol kimol arzeh. That you don't realize, Moshe Rabbeinu, that the people of Israel, after these 210 years, are worthy, are ready for Kabbalah Satorah, Tavdun al Harazeh. And therefore, in a comparison between Amori and Klal Yisrael, the Avon Amori is Sholem. So you, Moshe Rabbeinu, said that the people will ask me two kashas. First of all, we aren't ready for Yitzias Mitzrayim. And secondly, the Amorites are not ready to be subjected, to be conquered. The answer is that there are two answers to your two questions. Klal Yisrael are ready for Yitzias Mitzrayim. They're ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And number two, therefore, the Avon Amori, in a relative sense, is Sholem. And in truth, then, the oath that Tavdun Tachas Al HaRazeh is not an oath in the classical sense of, you know, let's prove something metaphysically. It's rather a message to answer the questions that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says "Vehein lo yaminu li velo yishmu l'koli," he wasn't doubting the divine promise that Hashem had already said to him a few psukim earlier, "Vishamu l'kolecha." What he was saying in so many words is that Hashem, I'm coming to Bnei Yisrael in your name, and they're going to ask me. It can't be. It's not possible for you to be coming b'shem Hashem. You can't be the shliach of Hashem because the promise was. It's premature. You couldn't have been possibly sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not the Shliach of Hashem. According to Chazal in the Mechilta, Moshe is not the first one who presented himself with a plan of Geula. On the Pasuk in Parashas Mishalki, Karov Hu, Rabbi Loza says in the Mechilta, Kolos and Hashem Shal Yisrael Yoshim Mitzrayim, there was a group of people called the Bnei Bon of Shal Ephraim. Achibah Gon. I don't know, again, the language of the Mechilta is very strange here, the Gon, but it says, this person came and Nigla Elayah Kodesh Baruch, he claimed that he had some sort of revelation from God, Lahotzi Osam Mitzrayim. And Bnei Ephraim somehow believed that this was true. Because they came from Yosef, which is the Zera Melucha, and they were Gibore Koach Milchama, and they stood up, and they took their wives, their children, and their grandchildren, they left Mitzrayim. And what happens, according to Mechilta, an interesting historical tidbit, we weren't aware of this, the Amdu HaMitzrim Vahargu Kol Giboreim, and the Mitzrim stood up, and destroyed all the warriors of Bnei Ephraim. And this is called, in the language of Tanakh, Milcheves Bnei Ephraim. Now, if you know this story, you add this as a piece to the puzzle, you begin to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was very nervous about showing up to Bnei Yisrael. I mean, he wouldn't, you know, in the eyes of Israel, he wouldn't be the first to be a false prophet to say, now it's time to leave Mitzrayim. In fact, the Medrash in Mechilta that we mentioned earlier tells us that as a result, the sum total of the Mitzrim killing that segment of the Jewish people were that 200,000 Jews died as a result of this false prophecy. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and he says to them, you know, this is the month of the Geula, they turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say to him, wait a minute, how could it be that now we're ready for the Geula when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu V'yavdu V'inu Osam Arbam Yol Shana and we're only here for 210 years? And Moshe Rabbeinu at that point was faced with a great challenge. He had to teach the people of Israel to understand on a deeper level these chidushim, these insights, that the Shibud was so difficult that it was mashlim for the 400 years that they're ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, Tashlim, Avona, and Mori, the Amorites, can now be destroyed. He didn't think that the average rank and file citizen of the Jewish people who was slaving Bechomer of Levanim day and night would be able to understand would have the desire to accept his answers and his explanations. And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, V'shamu l'kolecha, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that maybe V'shamu l'kolecha refers to this Kanim. Maybe the elders would understand, they would listen to me. Because if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Lech v'asafta as ziknei Yisrael. And then it says, V'shamu l'kolecha, back in Shavos Gimel. So it's clear that this Kanim will accept this. They're on a high level. Moshe understands that even though this Kanim would listen to it, a Zakin is Misha Kana Chachma, but what about the rank and file citizen, the Hamon Am, as we call it, to understand the lofty concepts and these two answers to the two questions they would ask, is Moshe made to think, Lo Yavinu, Velo Yishmu. And therefore he asks, Hein Lo Yaminuli. And what he's referring to is not this Kanim, but the Am itself, the Hamon Am. And to prove that point, you will see it says, Vayas ha'osos li'enei ha'am. This is here in Pasuk Lamed, here in Perek Dalet, in our unit that we're focusing our attention on today. And what does it mean he does the osos li'enei ha'am? That seems to be totally out of place. Well, what are the Am here? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to this Canaan. That was his mandate. What is the Am doing over here? But the answer is that Moshe had asked the question after the mandate, Heim lo yaminu li. And therefore, he understood Moshe Rabbeinu that he has to come forward and offer an oath for the people of Israel. It's not enough to convince this Canaan. You know, that's okay. But what about the rank and file citizen? For that, he needs Osos le'enehem. Le'enehem, as the Pasuk emphasizes, is for their eyes. The eyes of the Am. And we begin to appreciate what the Gemara says in Shabbos, that why was Moshe struck with leprosy, as what punished for what crime? The answer is because of Choshen B'Ksherim. What does that mean? How did Chazal know this? Maybe the punishment was meted out to Moshe Rabbeinu because Hashem had promised him Vishamu Lekolecha, and he's saying no, Lo Yishmu Lekoli. The answer is no. The Lo Yishmu Bekoli is not a direct confrontation and contradiction to what Hashem promised him. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was that although this Canaan would believe in me, but the rank and file citizen is going to ask a couple of questions, and I have to somehow answer those questions, they're not going to accept my answers. In that sense, he was Choshen B'Ksherim. Because the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael are ready for the Geula, they're ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. Just explain to them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined that in this 210-year period, they were able to condense the 400 years, and they prepared themselves for Torah, for Kabbalah HaTorah. Now perhaps we could swing back to the Medrash Rabbah that was so difficult for us. That the Medrash says, Al Ashmua Heminu Velo Al Re'iyas HaOsos. How did Chazal know that Bnei Yisrael accepted the Shmua and not the Osos? They didn't rely on the Osos. I mean, after all, the Pasuk itself says that Moshe did the Osos, and immediately afterwards it says, Vayamein. The Pasuk says, let's see it again. So who told Chazal, who revealed to them that really they believed in the Shmua and not in the Re'iyas HaOsos? And the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Ki pakar Hashem es bnei Yisrael v'chi ra es onyam v'yikdu v'yishtachavu. In other words, v'yamein ha'am has to be attached to the next part of that same pasuk of Vayishmu ki pakad ha'am and Vayikdu Vayishtachavu. And the answer probably is the fact ki rois onyam, that's the reason for the shtachava. In other words, based on what we presented, I think this parsha becomes crystal clear. And that is Vayamena on Vayishmu. That's the pasuk Vayishmu. Ki pakar Hashem es bnei Yisrael. What does it mean, Vayishmu? How could Vayishmu be after Vayamena on? I mean, first they have to hear, and then they could come to Emunah. I mean, before the Shmiah, It's not shaykh to talk about emunah. The mikra is very strange. It should have said, Vayishmu ki pakar Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, v'chira es anyam, and then Vayamenam. Instead it says Vayamenam, and then after it says Vayishmu. And the answer is that this is what brought Chazal to understand that the Osos did not play the role. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu write in the Torah Vayishmu first and then Vayaminu? The answer is Shmiah. Shmiah means Havana. They understood that Hashem Pakad Es B'nei Yisrael V'ra'as Anyam. And what did they understand? They understood the Hashem Pakad Es B'nei Yisrael, meaning that despite the fact that it was only 210 years and they didn't reach the 400 years and Lo Shalim Havana Mori, they understood that Hashem Pakad Es B'nei Yisrael. Pakad means that there was a pekida, and the pekida means that they're ready for Kabbalah Satorah immediately after Yitzias Mitzrayim, and pekida means that if they're ready for Kabbalah Satorah, they're on that high level, they are tzaddikim, then vayashleim gam avona mori, that even avona mori is shalom. All this needed a great deal of havana, a what we call bina yisera, and that's what the pasuk wants to tell us when it says Shmia first, Vayishmu Ki Pakad Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael. And again, the next four words, Ki Ra Es Anyam, are crucial, because Ki Ra Es Anyam means that this super duper oni, this Koshi HaShibud, accomplished in a shorter time what would normally have taken a longer time. It's B'meila Vayamein Ha'am. After the Vayishmu, after they hear the Pekida, after they understand that Ra Es Anyam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their Oni, now they're ready for the Amuna. So when it says in the Pasuk Vayidaber Aaron Es Kol HaDvarim Asher Dibar Hashem El Moshe, and we ask the question, what is Kol HaDvarim? I mean, just say the magic words of Pakon Pakaditi as a simon. It means as Kol HaDvarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Pakad Osam Legalam even before the 400 years, because Hashem saw us Lachatz Hashem Mitzrayim Lochatzim Osam. He saw us Ha'asui Lahem. He saw how much the Koshi of Shibud was. And therefore there's enough here to make up for the 400 years. And Botziach HaSa'ami Mitzrayim Tavdu Nesalukim Alor Azeh. When Bnei Yisrael will reach that level, they've already reached the potential, but now when they clinch it with the actualization of Kabbalah HaTorah, then Memela Yishlam Avon Amori. And therefore, with all this understanding, even the Amon Ha'am was ready for Vayamein Ha'am. So Moshe Rabbeinu had suspected the people of Israel and believed that they wouldn't be so profound in their philosophical ability to understand, you know, how 400 years could be squeezed down to 210 years. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu Vayasa Osos Li'enei Ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the only way he could possibly convince the people of Israel would be through the Osos, and all his diburim and all his explanations and all his lamdas would not suffice. Ah, says the Torah, Vayamein Ha'am Vayishmu, that we have to understand that it's not the Osos, but Vayamein Ha'am, not the way Moshe Rabbeinu, you think that they believed it because of the Osos. And the Pasuk wants to go out of its way, Lafuki, and therefore the Pasuk says, Vayishmu ki pakad Hashem, is then, and only then, is Vayikdu, Vayishtachmu ki pakad Hashem, the double pekida, the appreciation of what Geula is all about, and indeed that they were ready for Geula, and they were ready to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. That's why the pasuk says Vayishmu ki pakad Hashem es bnei Yisrael v'chira es anyam. That's why they believed. They believed because of Shmiah. They believed because Vayishmu, meaning Havana, they understood Ki Pakar Hashem even before this man. And why? Because Ra'as Anyam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Shibud and the Koshia Shibud, and he understood that they were ready, not only in terms of their own preparation, but they were ready for Kabbalah Satorah, and therefore Hushlam Avona Mori. Now it makes sense, the Vayamein Ha'am itself would not be understood except in the light of Vayishmu. After we see the Vayishmu as an addendum, as a description or an explanation of Vayamein Ha'am, we understand that the reason why they believed is not because of the Osos, but because Ki Pakad Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael. And Pakad Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael is a secret code, which if we decode it, it means that Klal Yisrael are actually ready. Vayikdu al ha-pekida, say Chazal, Vayishtachvu al ki ro'es onyam, Afla v'fele, they believed because of the pekida, and they believed because ro'es onyam, because now they have in effect experienced a 400-year geula. Everything is set, all the conditions have been set in place. And I think what we could take out of this for ourselves, in terms of looking around at the situation of Klal Yisrael, sometimes we think, Chas v'Shalom, we seem to be far away from the geula, look at how many of our people have strayed away. But the answer is that we have to wait for the moment of geulas haguf, together with geulas hanefesh. It's got to be both. And we have to have the absolute confidence that we can rely on Hashem. We should be zoche to that geula shlema of geulas haguf and geulas hanefesh. A geula in which we are guaranteed that Klal Yisrael will come back to Torah and they will inherit the land of Israel. And if the Shibud of the Geula that we're looking at is so difficult, the tragedies that we're facing in Golus, whether it be here in Eretz Yisrael and in France, wherever it is, I can give you a list of all the countries in which we're suffering so, that should give us encouragement, because that's like the Redu, the 210, that is considered like the 400. As the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Lies Erev, Yeah. Maybe now we're ready for the Geula. We've experienced the Erev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring about the Boker of Geula. B'mheira v'yameinu. Amen. We've suffered enough. Let's end this whole suffering and experience the bright, beautiful glory of the Geula of Anochi Hashem. B'mheira v'yameinu. Amen.